Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. It's one of your hosts, Mike, and you know when I'm running the solo show, it's the Coffee Time Kick segment. And today I have the founder and CEO of a really cool 3D printed AI generated sneaker company. We got Ben Weiss here from Scintillet. Ben, what's going on, man? How's your day going?
Going pretty good. It's great to be with you, Mike. I mean, you're somebody who loves this space just like I do, and it's always great to meet somebody who cares about sneakers. Let's do it.
Yeah, man. No, it's awesome. Man, you guys are doing something. I know when it comes to 3D printed sneakers, it's been a more popular space that's been popping up here over the last couple of years. But you guys are doing something even different than just that. You guys have the first, and correct me if I'm wrong, first AI-generated sneaker that is available for basically, is it mass production? Is that the word we're going to use?
Commercial. So
commercial, there we go.
We created the first AI design slide that you can wear today. It's commercially available. So it basically kind of how this started was we looked online. We're like, wait, Nike teased some concepts of AI-made shoes, but you can't actually get them. They look really cool, but I want to wear these things. And Reebok kind of generated some images. And we were already thinking like we should do something with AI and shoes, but we look what's out there. And we're like, we don't see any shoe you could wear today that AI-made. And we're seeing how AI is changing software. We've got ChatGPT, Midjourney, Grok. I mean, the list of names goes on and on. You know, it's like, well, what about physical products? Why can't the physical where we live in be changed with that? And we saw from our test that AI design creates some, you know, crazy looking products that are just super futuristic. And I mean, it's time to experiment, you know, and with 3D printing, you can actually capture what AI can make. And we've got a good factory partner, Zellerfeld, based in Germany, that just did Nike's first fully 3D print shoe that's doing our production. So we're trying to bring that to life for sure.
Yeah. And it's awesome. So it's funny, like, as we talk about the shoe, I was able to get to try one, you guys' shoe, the Explorer, the slide. And I tell you this, man, since they got sent to me, they're literally by my door all the time. So they're actually on right now. So this is the shoe, everybody, for everybody looking at it on the visual platforms here. The Explorer is their fully AI design and 3D printed slide. And it's really cool because I'll tell you this, Ben, when I first heard about 3D printed sneakers, I was super skeptical of like how that would work because you would first see 3D printed like models and like statues, and I never thought that you can change the like the density of the product or the materials to make it feel like mesh or feel comfortable. And you guys did that. Like as I touched the slide, it literally feels like I'm touching mesh at certain points or touching rubber when it comes to the outsole. How do you guys? Is it just different formulas that you're putting into the system for it to print, or is it different materials that you guys are using?
Yeah. So I mean, we're working with Zellerfeld, which is our factory partner, and they've done really well. And so, you know, we have this unique system with our shoes that, like you just mentioned, you have this kind of mesh feeling to them, but it's all one print. So you're printing it all one point in time. It prints on this slant with a support material, and then you break it off. And the way it's designed, the print is really unique because you've got these triangular structures inside that enable it to be more squishy and breathable. Yeah. And you can change the density of how it's printed as it goes. So you've got the same materials making something super hard on the bottom, you know, much harder for, you know, what you want to, so you don't have anything going through your foot, but then, you know, much softer and much thinner, and it's weaved together into one, you know, really seamless, which is kind of the brilliance of the manufacturing. But with AI design, you can actually bring the ideas of AI to life. And we saw that, you know, with what we were building here, we combined a yacht and a spaceship. The bottom looks like a yacht. You've got this yacht bridge. You've got spaceship patterns. So it's kind of a whole different type of product together, bringing that classiness and futurism. And it's kind of only something you can do with 3D printing and with a unique method, you know, that makes it comfortable.
No, and that's super cool because a lot of times I saw, you know, some old 3D printed shoes and or slides, and it's like, they're cool looking, but I can't see myself wearing them because they're just too out there.
Yeah.
But you guys kept that. You tread the line of futuristic and wearable perfectly because I can wear these and people like every time someone see me in these, they're like, what is that? That's super cool. And I'm like, put your foot in it. Like, and they're blown away. So you guys did a really good job of really, again, you know, tiptoeing the line perfectly because it's something that you can, that looks like it's right out of any other, you know, wearable, just normally, again, produced shoe or other product, as opposed to just this more of a conversation piece. You guys have both.
Yeah. Well, it's exactly what you said. Like, there's this fine line, you know, of like making something within what people accept and what they find is cool, but then also pushing beyond that and doing something that's really futuristic and different. And you kind of like don't want it. If you go too crazy futuristic, nobody wears it. But if you go too basic, nobody wears it.
Exactly.
But if you're in between, you're just like everybody else. So you've got to kind of just push it a little more to the more futuristic direction, but not be too crazy. So we tried to do that, and I'm glad that you like that and you appreciate it. Because I mean, we could go insane with what AI can make. It makes stuff that looks like you're living on Mars, you know.
Exactly. And it's funny. So you said it. So I know that Joe Foster, you know, Reebok founder, is one of your advisors on with Scintillet, and I think of things like the Reebok Instapump Fury,
yeah.
Made in '94, still a super futuristic looking shoe in 2025. And does, like, when you guys get together, when you're creating these models, is it a lot of, you know, concept drawings first before you start putting ideas in the AI generator? What does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, so I mean, the process is actually been evolving over time, but the way that we started with the Explorer shoe that you have, the shoe that made history, you know, that product, we have four different steps of AI that we're using. So we begin with, instead of going to the sketch room, Mike, and you got to make all these different sketches out there, and, you know, it could be revision, quite expensive. We start with image generation. So if we're working with a collaborator, we're doing it ourselves, we just generate tons of images, refine them, generate more. And then we even have a visual representation pretty much of what the shoe can look like, you know, instead of having to recreate that from a sketch and not even knowing exactly the direction because it's just a sketch. So that saves a ton of time and money. Then we go and we actually make a 3D version of that, but we have a sketch made on this digital images, and then we generate a 3D model from the sketch. And once that 3D model is made, we have an AI that creates patterns and textures all around it. So we have this model that we give inputs into. So we gave it sci-fi, you know, theme artwork and stuff like that, and it created this sci-fi feel, generated all that. So that's kind of like, it takes some of the biggest steps in footwear and makes them much simpler and easier. And part of the reason we're doing this, Mike, is we want to back content creators and brands that have never had a shot in this space with their own shoes. And the typical model in the industry is 18 months. It takes a year and a half to make a new shoe. Could be $1 million plus. So you see a lot of these basketball players getting shoe deals. You don't really see the YouTube, TikTok, Twitch stars getting deals because it's so expensive and they already know what works. So now we can make a shoe in 3 months and make it for a lot less, like probably a 1/100th of that cost, if not even less than that.
That's a game changer. And not only that, are you able to help someone generate their own model in, let's say, 3 months, but also the lead time is awesome because, look, it took about a month to get them, but it's not, hey, just pick one, everyone, one size fit all. You guys go through the steps of getting people to send over the measurements of their feet through that the app to the proper measurements and the height of the foot. So it's cool because you guys are not only, again, providing this custom experience for the content creator or the smaller business trying to create a shoe, but you're also providing a custom experience for the customer at the same time, which is not, as you know, not something you hear of. Whenever you do pre-orders like this or this unique generation, you're usually expecting what, 6 months out, at least a year out, and what, 60 to 90 days you guys are able to turn these slides around, and it's awesome, and it's amazing product you're getting. It's not just kind of a, all right, here you go, boom, it is what it is, and mistakes here or there. You guys have perfected this solution. And, I mean, right now, have you guys, I mean, whatever you can say, I don't want to let too many cats out the bag, but have you guys started working on other models, maybe with other people?
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot coming up. We've got a bunch of collaborations that we've signed with a brand and with different content creators and all different types of people. And we've got our own models coming out that we're really trying to push innovation around and see what we can make AI do. And how much further we can go with AI design. So there's a lot of different advancements that we're actively on top of. You know, but this is a space that, like, I mean, custom footwear alone is one massive aspect of this. You got AI design, you got 3D printing. Like, there's a lot of cool innovations, but custom footwear, like, is something that's completely inaccessible in the world today. I mean, it's really expensive to get custom shoes. Most people have no idea even how to do that. And a lot of people have problems with getting the right fit, you know, right fit experience and right fit overall. I mean, you go buy a shoe, and if it doesn't fit you, you're kind of stuck with that. It gives you irritations, but, you know, maybe your left foot's not as long or as wide as your right foot, and vice versa. And, you know, people are finding that out for the first time when they scan their feet. through our experience. And then when they get a custom-made shoe that replaces the orthotic, it has everything in it that the orthotic would have, and it's made and made to fit you for half the price of what an orthotic would be for an entire shoe here. You know, the fit experience is super different, and it's like, wow, like, I wish every shoe fit me, you know, perfectly. I wish every shoe was designed for me, you know, and it's only 4 to 6 weeks to get that done. It's not even like you're waiting many months.
Yeah, no, it's super easy. And so when you look at that, you mentioned orthotics, and the idea came to me as we're, you know, I feel like maybe 3D printed shoes are far off on the performance, let's say basketball, tennis, football thing. Yeah, not there yet. But you mentioned orthotics. As you guys can take the measurement of foot, and you guys have clearly mastered the ability to have this very comfortable footbed, is it possible to create 3D printed orthotics to put in the shoes?
Yeah, it is possible. I have heard there are some companies doing stuff like that today.
Oh, okay. But,
I mean, think about it like this, Mike. Like, would you rather spend twice the price on a 3D printed orthotic or half the price and get an entire shoe with that built in? You know, I think the value of the whole shoe is really where you want to go, especially because there's things you can do with the shoe with essentially the orthotic built into it that are much greater than having an orthotic placed into something that's existing. You know, like our entire shoe, we take in 12 different data points, your arch height, your length, your width, your instep information, and we're able to make it for each foot with all those that data for each foot individually custom to fit you. So every shoe that comes out of our factory is a one-of-one pair. And that's like, I mean, that taking all the information in, it's not just like we're taking in the length and the width, you know, and saying, hey, we're getting a shoe that fits to that measurement. Like, we're getting your instep info. We're getting your arch height. We're really understanding how your foot is made. And we're going to have something soon in person around that too, that will really help make this much better.
Yeah, and you know what's really cool about that is you talk about, you know, getting all the information. Like, I'm really big into CrossFit, and I'll tell you that once I leave the gym, I can throw these on, and this is like the perfect recovery shoe because it fits my foot perfectly.
Yeah.
And again, with the softness and responsiveness of the shoe, I'm able to reduce pain from, like, of course, your foot always swells when you work out. Of course, you know, when you're, you know, smacking your foot on the ground, you get the plantar fasciitis that can possibly happen. These have been the best slide. Like, and I, not just saying it because I have you on here, but literally these are ones next to my door now. I've dunked my old, like, foam slides that are, you know, the 20, 30 bucks ones you buy, just, you know, throw on after workout or basketball. But these definitely, like you say, because they have my actual foot measurements built in when building a shoe, this is the best recovery slide I put my foot in.
Yeah, and that's our goal, Mike. And actually, we're going to market more around there too, because it exactly the use case you mentioned is exactly where this is really well fit for. And there's a lot of athletes out there that really need the proper recovery shoe. And just people in general, like, I mean, if you have a shoe that fits you right, it solves a lot of problems in all different directions. And there are, I mean, there's a lot of ways we're going to try to help solve this even more for people. Like, we have this in-person experience we're working on now. I can't really announce it all yet. We'll actually be taking in more data than we do with the phone scan.
Oh, wow.
We'll be taking in your toes into account of how your toe, how, you know, the way your toes are shaped and things like that. And we'll actually be making a 3D version of the shoe, I mean, of your foot, and then make a shoe base. Like, it's even more depth.
Holy wow. Okay.
So it's going to be even better for that fit. You know, but I think that this is, it's about recovery for sure. But it's just about, like, giving you an amazing experience, you know, and everybody deserves that in footwear. You deserve something that feels really incredible and that feels like it's made for you 100%. You know, just like how suits, if you have the right fitting suit, you feel confident, you feel good. It should be the same way with shoes.
Yeah. And as you guys have all these plans and just really these big ideas that you're putting into play and, you know, working out right now, how's it working with Zellerfeld? I mean, is it more like, hey, here's an idea, bring it to them, like, great, we'll do it? Or is it more of a collaborative effort to make sure everything is kind of hashed out and all the I's are dotted, T's are crossed before moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we try to make sure everything's really planned out well with them. I mean, we're producing stuff also with different other factories that will be, like, traditional production and other things we're exploring to really build stuff to scale, because you can only scale so much right now with 3D printed shoes, and there's only so much you can do there, and we really want to have mass market appeal with AI design and think it's going to create some really incredible stuff, you know, around lightness and weight, and there's other ways you can use AI besides even just the appearance. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things we're trying to develop in general, but we have a really nice roadmap of stuff we planned out. But our goal, Mike, was to establish this new method here of, hey, we can make shoes with AI design and 3D printing in 2 or 3 months, and they're original designs from scratch entirely that you can now, if you're a content creator brand, be the creative director on that and bring the vision to life in a much more affordable way. And if it does well, we'll move it to traditional production with a similar model or make something. But now we know. So now it means we're in a very exciting place because we can now test out categories that nobody else in the world has tested out before. We can see, can a UFC fighter sell a shoe? Can a WWE performer sell a shoe? Can X, you know, EDM artist, can X influencer from this TV show or, you know, or that category sell a shoe? And like, these are areas that have been too expensive and too much risk for any other brand in the world to try. And so now with this method, we're showing, hey, we've made a shoe. People like the shoe. It's a good product. Now let's partner and let's make something for you in this category. That's where our focus is on for sure.
I like that because it's just kind of levels to it. It's like, hey, great. We'll work with you. Let's start with the, like you say, let's do the made to order. If it does well, we have the ability to scale. So I like the thought process of not just, hey, we're going to throw this shoe out here and hopefully it sticks. But you guys have a really way of like, you know, putting it through its paces first, making sure the customer likes it, able to make tweaks, of course. And that's cool. Like you say, you can go through all these different mediums from, you know, influencer, wrestler, you name it. It's just a really good way. I feel like it's just a good way to partner with people because you're not pigeonholed into one thing. Like, oh, only athlete or only artist. There's so many different avenues you're able to travel down.
Yeah.
Now, with that being said, as we talk about influence, what was some of the sneakers that influenced you or some of the things that, as you started your own company, what were some of those favorites or some of those that you really kind of use as reference possibly?
Yeah, I mean, like in terms of shoes you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not like a super hypebeast collector. I don't even have like the rarest pairs in the world, but I do like to have a nice collection of shoes, and I think that they're a great, you know, way to express yourself. So I've been collecting shoes and just had a collection for a long time. But I've always been interested more in the technology and like these, you know, interesting technologies that come out. So like I remember the Hyperfuse was really cool when Nike put that shoe out. And then I really loved the Hyperdunk as well. And the ZigTech from Reebok was amazing, you know. And like I like to kind of get these different interesting technologies as they came out. So, I mean, that was like some of the, you know, some of the – there's been some of the interest in that. I mean, I also like different classic shoes. I have the Club C's and I have Jordans and I have all different pairs. But there's this really great principle that the founder of Reebok, Joe Foster, who's on our board, you know, taught me that I think we're trying to embody in everything that we do. And so the principle is pretty much, it's called VizTech. And what that means is that you want to create an innovation that, yes, it's amazing, the experience and how it feels like, but it is visible to the consumer. So and a great example of this, Mike, is when you look at what On Running has done, right?
Yeah.
Like those shoes, they have VizTech. It's an innovation that you feel is different, but you look at it and it has air flowing through the different directions here instead of it a bubble infused with air. And, you know, that's something that the customer understands. You don't have to be a footwear specialist or anything like this is a new innovation. You know, and so we did that on our slide. Our slide visually shows you what AI is capable of. It's not just like, I made this and it looks like something normal. It really looks like something exciting and different. And that's important. And so we're kind of leaning in towards that and some of the other things we're building as well to bring out some interesting technologies and, you know, see what AI can do that, visibly communicate to people. But that's kind of the direction we're in. It's like, how do we bring out, you know, more VizTech type products and make stuff around there?
Yeah. And something that when you talk about technology, especially visible technology, I've saw certain reports. I know that, again, Nike's doing their thing with Zellerfeld as well with that Air Max 1000.
Yeah.
I saw that. Is it difficult to integrate outside technology inside of a 3D printed model? So, like, they're an air bubble, or let's say you guys decided, let's find a way to put the Reebok pump inside one of these. Yeah. And it's like, is it difficult to integrate outside things?
I've heard from just seeing – I was at the opening event at Complex in Vegas, the Nike did, and then – just the opening booth thing, and then you know, I've seen the product in person. I've heard it's not as simple to go and insert an air bubble in because I don't think it's 3D printed. I think it's just traditionally made and it's being inserted after, which isn't like – I don't think that's ideal for manufacturing purposes because it's just easier to print it all as one thing and then go through that system. But it's what Nike wants to do, and they want to stand out that way, and you know, that's kind of their thing with the air bubble. And that's a great technology. You know, when it came out, it was very interesting. I think it's still interesting, and it's done some really good stuff for people. But there's other ways to innovate with 3D printing, you know, and that's kind of what we're looking at. Like, design is one aspect of this that you can really push, but, you know, like, there's a lot of other areas too. I mean, AI could be making new technologies. It could engineer new technologies, you know, in this space that are really different and think about it differently, you know, than how humans have been. And we've been building some stuff around that as well. because I think it's an interesting area to explore. But I mean, Zellerfeld, what's great about Zellerfeld is they're really creator oriented. You know, however much they have Nike working with them on, you know, on that previous shoe, the Air Max 1000, and I think Justin Bieber just teased he's doing a shoe with them with his Skylark brand. He's just been teasing some 3D print shoes, you know, and like all that stuff is great. But they also care about just kind of, you know, talented creators, and they've got this platform of people, and we're part of, you know, kind of this movement with them to help them out, and they're helping us. And I mean, I think the future is a system of two prongs. You know, can somebody make a shoe? AI design, 3D printing. We'll find out in 3 months. You know, instead of we can't commit to you because you're hundreds of thousands of dollars of investment and a year and a half of our time. We're going to know in 3 months if you can do a shoe. And if you can do a shoe and you get behind it with us, let's see if we can scale to retail and make something really big with traditional production until 3D printing fully catches up. And that's a revolutionary system in this world. Because right now, if you have influence, and everybody might love shoes, and you know this. I mean, so many people have shoes. They're all collecting them. Everybody wants to make shoes. It's so coveted. It's not just coveted and rare because of the fact these brands are selective. Yes, I mean, that's a piece of this. But it's coveted and rare because it's so expensive. So if you remove the expensive piece, you know, if it was way less expensive, if the cost to make traditional production was the same as AI design 3D printing, you would see a lot more signature models and a lot more collaborations. So what would the footwear world even look like then? I think it's a whole different future, and that's what we're trying to build over at Scintillet.
Yeah, and I think that is a great point because you look at it. I mean, the barrier to entry to get into a shoe is just insane. You think about just building a last. That takes so much money. That's the most expensive part, hundreds of thousands of dollars and maybe more if it's something – like a foam posit we talk about, something that's insane. And that lowering that to purely like, oh, great, we can print the shoe, but let's get into this AI generator and see what we can build. That gives so many more creative people a way to, you know, fulfill that dream, start that business.
Yeah.
And find partners, like whether it be you guys or who, like anyone out there. I think that's just it's going to increase, of course, the amount of shoes out there, of course, which is great because that also makes people work harder to stand out. So I think you're going to get a higher level of competition that brings out better products from this side. And again, spanning into the mass production line as well.
Exactly. I think the last point you mentioned there was really great. And I think it's a good way to look at it, too, is that the level of quality is going to be really good because you have more options. Like, there's been gatekeepers in this space. You have the big brands in the category, which, you know, they produce a lot of really interesting product and great stuff, but they're essentially gatekeepers. If you want to do a shoe right now, I mean, before we existed, before Scintillet was a brand, if you want to do a shoe, you either get a deal with an existing brand, which is rare. If you're lucky, you get a couple points on it, and you don't really usually get to create your own silhouette. You know, Travis Scott's heading up, like, I think Nike Lifestyle now. He's doing some really great work, but he's not building his own silhouettes. He's taking existing models, flipping around the swoosh, some embroidery, and doing his own designs there, which is fine. But, you know, a lot of people want to create their own silhouettes. And I think that that's really what's exciting, especially when you're a really creative person. You know, you can put your own touch on it in ways that, you know, the brand can't do internally. Yeah. Or just it would be different than what they would do internally. It's maybe a better way to say that. You know, we want to give this shot to people. We want to give them a real chance to do something in this category and not keep them locked away. And I think that there's, you know, there's just be this whole creative, like, rush almost in this space of just so many new exciting designs and interesting designs that have been just held back by the typical, you know, limitations of cost, you know, and just, that's like what I'm looking forward to. Like, I'm looking forward to the most creative people on Twitch and YouTube and wherever, like, becoming creative here. Cause, like, you know, merch has been a category everybody can do, and you see what's done there. But footwear you can't do as a merch item. It's just impossible.
Yeah. Oh yeah, most definitely. And like, when you talk about creatives, do you guys plan on setting up shop at like a ComplexCon, things like that, to really, of course, show off the product in hand for things you already have generated, but also be able to kind of meet those creatives like face to face and, you know, maybe build partnerships from there, you know, kind of a handshake and hey, let's see what we can do.
Yeah. I mean, I was at ComplexCon in Vegas last year, and I have a good relationship with Complex. You know, I think that it's really great to be in the sneaker community and to go and show people what's possible in the sneaker community. But I think that outside of the sneaker community, it happens to be that's where the most shoes are sold. You know,
so you're 100% right, because Hypebeast and sneaker collectors are just a drop in the bucket. You got to think of the wide spread of where the dollars are made.
Yeah. So like, our focus is also for collaborations too, Mike. It's not necessarily just going to the people within the sneaker community, although that is a piece of what we would like to do, of course. the outside sneaker, the outside community has people buying all different types of items from some of their favorite stars. And you know, you don't have to be a sneakerhead to have a very successful shoe. You know, you can you can be completely outside of that. You could just be somebody who's fashionable, who has a great fan base. And you know, we're trying to focus on a lot of those because the sneaker community has been really missing out on these people. And then they'll become part of the community.
Yep. No, exactly. I feel like one of the like fastest growing segments of, you look at YouTube and like Instagram, social media, has been like the overall fashion creator.
Yeah.
So of course they'll throw on a pair of Jordans, but they're still talking about other pieces of clothing as well. So it kind of, like you said, reaches more than just that sneakerhead. It reaches a person who's, oh man, I'm more into jackets or into shirts, pants. And now you got this full package of everything. So I think that's a very smart way to look at it.
Yeah. I do think that the sneaker community like needs to be a bit more receptive to interesting innovation that comes from outside of the traditionally loved brands. Like this is like, there's positives and negatives to that. Like, of course, like, you know, like there's a lot of interest in the newest releases from brands that are established and, you know, and ones that, you know, are kind of creating interesting stuff around their, you know, their existing IP, which is fine. But they, but like the sneaker community really is a, is maybe too much associated with brands at times. And like, it has to be that this brand makes this number. I really want to see that logo when interesting innovation, exciting innovation comes from everywhere. And, you know, and so like, we've also found that like people outside of the traditional community have been really more excited about this sometimes than even people inside the community. even though it, cause they're just like, I mean, they're just like, they want it. They want the next kind of latest and greatest thing. And you know, the people in the community are like so focused sometimes too much on the brand, but I think that both have their positives and negatives. And you know, the sneaker community, when they like, love something, they really go at it in ways that, you know, traditional consumers don't. So, you know, we're kind of, you know, understanding all that and trying to figure out the best ways to, you know, to keep spreading what we're doing in both.
Yeah, it, I mean, I say it all the time because people do get – this is weird, weird brand loyalty. It's like, do you have a contract with Nike or Adidas or fill in the blank? It's like, you don't. You're giving them your money, and there's so many cool things out there, especially from independent brands that don't get the shine because they don't have a swoosh on it, unfortunately. And there's – again, you're right. They have to be receptive, and that's one of the things I always kind of – laugh at my contemporaries in you know, the sneaker world, because everyone's asking for innovation, but they only look at one place or two places instead of like taking the blinders off and seeing there's so many cool things out there from other brands that quality wise, because they're making this like smaller batches or made to order, it's going to be better than the big brands in some cases. So I'm glad that you said that, because I think that's very important for people to, again, in the sneaker community, because people in the general like fashion world, just generally just buying shoes, they want something to look good, feel good. It's not about what's stamped on the side. So I really think that's a great point, and I think that's something that a lot of sneaker collectors, sneakerheads should really take into consideration when building collections or trying new things.
I mean, there's like so many new brands like I've discovered and creators that are like making like shoes themselves through this process that are like have some of the most amazing designs like I've ever seen, Mike. And none of this stuff has like hit the surface yet, you know? And like, there are brands like that have niche markets, like in one country in the world, like with one kind of demographic, that have like fascinating designs. Like, I'm like, these could be massive, you know, in different areas, you know, but like no one else is really giving them a shot, you know? And, and like that, if the consumer is not willing to buy that stuff, you know, you won't see that innovation. You have, the consumers have to be willing to embrace it. And, you know, I think the community is moving towards that direction more and more. Like, I mean, everybody wants to see more innovation, and they want to see innovation that benefits them too, like that feels better, looks better, and you know, stuff like that. So I hope it continues to go in that direction. I've got a lot of confidence in the community, and we'll see for sure.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, like I said, it was definitely worse years back. It's like, I only see this, I only see that Jumpman, I only see that swoosh, leave me alone. But I think, again, as more people, I think it's more the, I feel like the younger generation who aren't as attached to particular athletes' stories because they just went around for those things. I think they're going to be more receptive to the newer product. And I think we're seeing that because a lot of times you see these crazy designs on feet and it's typically early 20s, late teens, and even earlier than that, because there's no this pseudo brand loyalty that they feel like they have to embrace. They're just like, this is cool, I want to be different.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And I think that's great for, you know, you guys, Ben, as you're moving forward, you have almost a clean slate to work off of in this new generation, which is fantastic.
I agree. I think that's a good way to look at it. I mean, this shoe here, This is every one of these, Mike. Everybody wants to be, you know, have their own fashion, be unique. This is every one of them is one of one.
Yep.
Every single shoe made. This is actually version 2, which we're debuting pretty soon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's a little slimmer, a little lighter. We've done some tweaks to it. But everybody wants to be unique and in their own way. And, you know, they have all these different types of, you know, I don't know if they're gimmicks, but like different products around. Like mm-hmm. I think they've had shirt collections where like the design is a little bit different every single one of them. You know, and like, but you haven't really seen that in footwear. You know, and actually this one of one aspect really benefits you. It feels better. It feels like it's meant for you. Mm-hmm. So I think that helps people be a bit more individualized and, you know, how they are and feel like they can express themselves better, which I think is really important mm-hmm. to have. But, you know, I'm just like the fun of this is like is making new, exciting things that haven't been done before. Yeah. You know, like this shoe that you have, there, like that's a piece of history. You know, that's the first AI design slide, you know, that's commercially available. Like nobody's even heard of AI making any shoes beforehand. Mm-hmm. Like that's a piece of history that's going to change, I think, the way we think about product creation. I think every company mm-hmm. is going to be designing footwear and apparel and even other products outside of this space with AI. It's faster, it's cheaper, and usually faster and lower cost always wins. That's just, you know, how it is. So that's a trendsetter in that sense. And I mean, you know, nobody's done something like that. And you know, people have, now big brands are kind of just getting into 3D printing. Like Adidas just came out with their fully 3D printed shoe, which I've heard mm-hmm. good things about. And Nike's got their 3D printed shoe. And I think there's a whole another wave of what's to come next with what we're doing with AI design that is going to let people be artistic. And maybe there's a point where everybody can make their own shoes more. You know, maybe we'll get there. We'll see. It's an exciting place to be in.
Yeah. And when you talk about faster, I don't even think of just faster production, but also faster in being able to navigate the ship when it comes to trends. I mean, I know just like any good company out there making footwear, you guys are paying attention to trends out there. And I feel like as things kind of change or shift with your mobility and your ability to like generate designs via AI, it helps you guys to be able to stay on point and be able to try new things quicker as opposed to, all right, like you said, we're 18 months out. Let's design it, and hopefully it's still happening in 18 months. So it gives you that ability to really pivot when it comes to slides. Another thing I know is popular, like the mule sneakers. That's something, I mean, again, without letting too much out the bag, is that something you guys have looked at as well as like Birkenstocks and all these mm-hmm. other, you know, the Crocs and things like that, the closed in front? Is that something you guys have looked at as well?
Yeah, we've looked at it. I mean, we could do any category, and we could do 3D mm-hmm. print stuff even outside of footwear. You know, there's so many different lanes we can be in. It's quite exciting. You know, but I think like we're working on making our first sneaker. You know, we're trying to do some stuff around there, you know, so we can bring something out that's different in the sneaker category too, because we've really done something in the slide space that's unique and want to move to that area. So I think now it's like it's about giving creative people this canvas, you know, to build on mm-hmm. And showing them first what we can do so that they can, you know, use their imagination, let it run wild in this space. So I think footwear is going to look so different in the years to come. And, you know, I think there's also, besides even just people with great followings and audiences and brands with that, I mean, there's a lot of creative people that like kind of need the Canva of the space, you know, like Canva's done like really well because, you know, because like there are a lot of creative people that don't necessarily know how to use some of these more complex tools like Photoshop, and, you know, and like I learned Photoshop. I think it's an amazing tool, but there's a different, you know, consumer for Canva and, you know, and like, now there's so many people that didn't know how to be creative beforehand in this space or had the ideas but couldn't translate them into reality that now can mm-hmm. because they have the right tool. And tools are empowering. And I think that maybe we can get to a point where like there are a lot of creative people that have amazing insights into design that can make their own shoes and you could have a whole new business through that. Mm-hmm. And people could have their own businesses if they're not a footwear designer, you know, and that kind of barrier entry goes away. And so mm-hmm. I think it's just about this whole movement of what we're doing is just empowering the creator and, you know, and changing the way footwear is done for everybody, so everybody could be a part of it.
Yeah, and as you talk about getting in different lanes as well, I was wondering this because of the way you guys are able to put these different, like the softness, the flexibility in the slide. Would it be possible, even if it's just more like a jersey, could you guys do clothing 3D printed? That would be just as flowy and as wearable as like cotton and wool, things like that.
I wonder. It's something I'm exploring now. To see I'm trying to figure out how far we can go with it and see what's possible. I mean, from my initial stuff, I'm not really finding too much that you can really do mm-hmm. with 3D printing and clothing because of like, I mean, it's a thermoplastic is what we're making these shoes out of, you know, so there is some thickness to that, but we make it as light as possible, but it is just, it's thicker and better designed for footwear than it is for like a shirt, shorts. I mean, I've seen people design 3D printed pieces that kind of are like a complement to a shirt you're wearing, something like an addition. We'll see what's possible. I think we're going to get to points where you can do a lot more with it, and there's different types of materials that, you know, are going to be coming out. So it could get there in the near future. But like you mentioned before about trends, like the way we can move as a company and as a vehicle, you know, the way Scintillate can move to trends is incredible. Mm-hmm. And it's really unlike anything else. Like, we can build stuff on trend. If there's a, like, you could just, like, I give an example. Like, you know, let's say you've got, like, the Hawk Tua girl blows up on social media, right?
Yeah.
We could put out something around that in a week or 2 weeks, you know, like.
Yeah, real quick.
Real fast. And it could be interesting. In the same way, almost, you could do print-on-demand shirts. Like, people did that, you know, like, people did it for all different, they do it for all different events and stuff. And, like.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's a different world.
No, that's so cool. Like I said, being able to really just meet the needs of your consumer just like that, almost. Like, just a snap and, you know, a sense of words. Of course, it still takes a little time. But again, it's not this huge ship you're trying to turn around and navigate somewhere else. It is very, I like to, you guys, more like a speedboat as opposed to a cruise liner. It's like, hey, we're going to make this sharp turn and really be able to, again, meet the needs, meet the demand of what people are looking for. And I mean, that's going to be the big thing, I think. That's what consumers are looking for, not just a mass-produced product now, but you're looking for something that speaks to them, something they're looking for, a brand who cares about them, and they're not just a, you know, number per se. So I really, just what you guys are doing really is, I think, inspiring to someone purchasing the goods, but also someone who's looking to get into space. So I think you guys twofold are really making an impact when it comes to history and being able to, you know, really cement your place in the sneaker world, and who knows whatever other world you guys jump into.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Mike. I mean, have you tried 3D printed shoes before this?
I tried, so it wasn't a fully 3D printed shoe. I tried some of the older Adidas 4D stuff.
Okay.
Personally, it was some of the early stuff, so I don't know that, like, the new Climacool it just came out with. I don't know the feeling of it, but the old 4D stuff, it was cool novelty product to me at that point. And I feel like, again, it wasn't tweaked, so it wasn't like, oh, I was like, oh, this is not something I can just, like, walk around in all day. So it wasn't as refined as I feel like it is now. And what you guys did is night and day different, because that one was mass produced here for everybody. And this was back in, what, 2015, 2016, I tried these. And whenever 4D initially came out, no, a little later than that, I guess it'd probably be 2019, 2020, something like that. But yeah, they were okay. It wasn't anything to write home about, but again, they didn't have these different levels of densities, different levels of softness, hardness. What you guys did is very intriguing, because they just kind of put 4D in the midsole, covered it with the cloth and rubber at the top, or mesh and rubber at the top and bottom. That was it. You guys created a whole product with the, you know, again, with the full 3D printer. I feel like it's just a lot has been done to improve the process between, you know, 5 years, 6 years ago.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot that's happened. I've tried those shoes on as well. I thought it was interesting they brought it out, you know, commercially with at least some 3D printing. I thought that was a nice, you know, advancement. But trying a fully 3D printed shoe on, like, people have all different types of, you know, kind of preconceived notions. Like, we've been doing an interview series where we go out, you know, on the streets of Miami and, you know, different areas and kind of,
oh, cool.
Yeah, just kind of, like, show people the shoes and, you know, get their reaction and get them to try them on and stuff. And, like, some people, like, look at them, they're like, they think they're so hard, but they're squishy, you know, and they're soft. And they're, like, completely surprised at 3D printed shoes or shoes that, like, can really feel good. You know, and that kind of reaction, you know, like, is similar to what you were just talking about, like, you know, just the way they feel and stuff. And, you know, that's something that, like, we're trying to communicate better to people, because I think that this whole space is, like, just completely unknown. And we're bringing three new things to the table, you know, custom fit, fully 3D printed, AI design. Like, those are, like, whole new worlds altogether. So, you know, it's an exciting space. And I think it's just now about communication, just kind of getting it out there more. So where people can feel them and try them on. And that's why we're trying to do something cool in retail too.
Yeah. And I got to check that out, because that's literally when I got the shoes, like, I had no preconceived idea of what this is going to feel like. And I tell you, when I touched it for the first time, I was like, holy crap. Yeah. It blew my mind, because I didn't know you can do it. And that's probably the same reaction you get in on the streets when you're talking to these folks. It's just, you have this idea, because anytime people think about 3D printing, again, you're thinking of sculptures, you're thinking about replacement pieces, things like that. You don't think about, oh, this can actually be a functional use for my foot, like everyday use. So it is such a mind-blowing thing. And again, I love that people are jumping in to try it. Because I know when you go to the Zillafell website, you see a lot of different, you know, different brands and creators out there. And it's like, you know what? Respect to all of you guys out there willing to jump into the space and work on refining it, because you didn't take the comfortable way. It's like, hey, we're just going to get a company and, you know, we're gonna stitch together some shoes. You guys went kind of you zigged when everyone else zagged. So I like how you how this is becoming a more more creative and more talked about solution in creating sneakers, creating shoes.
I do think, though, scale is like super important in mass market product too. I think it's just finding a balance between both, which is what we're working on now. You know, because like you do need that to build a successful brand today, and you can't fully do that yet in 3D printing. You can get some scale in 3D printing, but it's not like enough to be, you know, I mean, the last numbers I saw was like On Running is doing like, I don't know, like 7 million pairs a year. And like Nike, I think they said Nike's doing like 100 million. So you have to get,
oh, it's crazy. I bet.
So like you can't do that yet with 3D printing. I do think it has a shot of getting there. And in your future, which would be exciting, it would really change like everything for footwear. Yeah. But like, I think we're going to kind of try to advance this technology as much as we can while we're doing traditional and keep doing both. But have that traditional for scale, and I think we'll learn a lot from 3D printing and AI design that we can apply to traditional that will also really benefit people that you won't kind of learn unless you do it the initial AI design 3D printing way first.
Yeah, and I think just like everything new that comes out, it takes it takes some years to refine the process. Once the process is refined, you could get more, you know, you have different companies creating printers, of course, you have different levels of doing it. And once that happens, you can put them everywhere. And then your prices, your cost of building it goes down, which means cost of, you know, sell it goes down as well. So I think it's going to, again, when time comes, it's going to be very, very prominent to have your traditional right next to the 3D printed model, especially if people go to AI route as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're going to get there. It's just going to take some time.
Yeah, man. Well, shoot, man. I can sit and talk about this all day. This is the stuff I love, you know, like the back part, or the pieces no one sees, the behind the scenes. I love that piece, being able to really talk the business and the creation of everything. But Ben, you know, with any other projects that you guys can talk about, anything you want people to know about before we finish up?
Yeah, I mean, I just think like if you want something different in the space and you really want to try the future, like that's the kind of people we're looking for to be a part of our journey, you know, at Scintillate. Mm-hmm. And I think we're finding those people, which is cool. You know, that's what this is right for. This is right for people who want to try the next big thing, want to be a part of the next big trend, and you know, just want to embrace something different and exciting. And, you know, exciting is so important. You have to do things that are exciting. As the founder of Reebok likes to tell me, Joe Foster, you know, you got to have fun and your journey needs to be fun. So we're trying to bring that fun, you know, not just to ourselves and what we build, which of course is important, but also to, you know, to the consumer and to people that want to be a part of this. It's a fun product. It's just different. It's out there. It's exciting. And, you know, and I hope people have a lot of fun with it and they get a great experience along the way too. So appreciate you having me on, Mike. This was really great.
Yeah, man. Of course. Of course. And for anybody looking for a product, of course, you can go to their website at scintillate.com. We'll make sure we link that in the episode as well. And you guys are also on Instagram as well, right?
Everywhere. Yeah.
Perfect. Everything's at Scintillate. Mm-hmm. Check them out, guys. Go to the Zillafell website. Check out their product on with Zillafell as they produce it. But it's just really cool. And I think you guys who are looking for that innovation really get a kick out of it and really enjoy what they're doing out there. So everyone out there, big applause to Ben. We appreciate your time, man. And of course, hit the like button, subscribe to the podcast, and follow all things Scintillate. Until next time, guys. See ya.
Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you. And we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.